Hello and welcome everyone to our Human Rights in Europe podcast. Today's topic is the refugee emergency state at the Belarusian-Poland border. In this sense, I'm more than happy to welcome Kalina from the Fundacja Ussalini Foundation as our guest today. Kalina, your organization helps, since over 20 years, your organization helps immigrants and refugees build a new life in Poland. Your goal is to ensure that every human being's dignity and human rights are respected. Your organization also runs the Foreign Aid Center in Warsaw and Lomsa, a community center for refugees where adaptation and integration programs are conducted. But I'm sure you would much better explain what the actions of your foundation include, and therefore I would like to give the floor to you and ask you, what do you do? Who are you? Can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, thank you. As you said, Ocalenie works on integration of people on the move, and we basically try to help everybody, no matter what are their legal status or nationality. We also provide assistance for people who don't have any kind of legal stay in Poland. I myself am the board member of Ocalenie Foundation. I started to work in Ocalenie 10 years ago as a volunteer, and now I'm in the board. Mm-hmm. And also, I think what may be the most interesting thing at this moment, Ocalenie is also working on Polish-Belarusian border, where the humanitarian crisis is going on. And we've been there assisting people on the move since August, because they basically what they need is humanitarian aid, and we are trying to provide it to them.
Great. Thank you very much for this. And this is exactly why we have you here as somebody right from the site and somebody who's in the topic to explain to us and our listeners what is happening at the Polish-Belarusian border at this moment. So besides Kalina, we also have Emma and Karolina in the call today, who will take you through this interview today. So could I ask you to present yourselves? Maybe we can start with Emma and then go on to Karolina.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Emma. I'm from Ireland and I'm a human rights activist with Amnesty International. I've been working with Amnesty for nearly 4 years now, since I started college, and I've been involved in a variety of campaigns, including refugee rights, LGBT rights, and mostly women's rights. So I'll pass you on to Karolina now.
Hello, everybody. My name is Karolina. I'm a volunteer of Amnesty Portugal. It will be 11 years, and that's it.
Great, thank you. So you two are going to conduct the interview today because you have a better, you are more into the topic of the refugee crisis, which is happening, and the humanitarian crisis, which Kalina already talked about. So I'm sure, and I do know that things at the Polish-Belarusian border have been tense, strict, and not compliant with human rights, that's for sure. And this, after this small introduction, I'm happy to pass on to Emma with the first question to Kalina.
Yeah, so I suppose my first question is, the situation on the Polish border has become now a state of emergency. And I suppose for people who aren't fully aware and aren't fully up to date, Kalina, would you be able to, you know, put into your own words what's happening, maybe a bit of background to the crisis at the moment?
Of course, I'm going to try to make it really short, but it's not an easy situation. So yeah. Basically, the Belarusian regime decided to put a pressure on Poland and on EU in general by bringing people who seek asylum from Iraq, Syria, Yemen, and other, Afghanistan, for example, and other countries where people struggle to live on. around May, June this year, they started to push people that they brought to Belarus. They started to push them through Polish border. So the numbers of people who were found in small towns near the borderline, in the forests, on the fields, started to grow during the summer. And in at the end of the summer, the beginning of the fall, we were dealing with thousands of people. And that's why at the beginning of September, the Polish authorities started the first, from the 30 years, the first emergency state in this little part of the country, very near the border, around 3 kilometers from the border. So by doing this, they banned the entrance for the journalists and for the humanitarian workers, as myself. And people that contact us and that we find in the forests, in the swamps, in the fields, are often in a very bad condition. They, well, right now in the winter, they are often in the stage of, in some of the stages of the hypothermia. They are very weak. They are exhausted. They are hungry because they didn't eat for several days. Sometimes they didn't have any clean water to drink for several days, so so they drink water from the streams, for example. There are small children, pregnant women, young adult males, seniors, everybody. And unfortunately, what Polish border guards started to do they started to use pushbacks, which are, of course, illegal. They are just when they find a group or a person, they just throw them out of the country back to the Belarus, which is a tragedy because on the Belarusian side, people were, well, I would say tortured. They were beaten, they were electrocuted. They were robbed of food, of their money, of their telephones. So now we are in the middle of December, after several months of this kind of situation, and we already have around 20 fatalities that we know about. But we guess these are not all of them. These are just the ones that were found and that you know, the media found out about. So I know it was a long story, but without any further details, this is how it looks like.
Yeah, thank you. Wow, that's a lot of information. It sounds like a very, very stark situation. I think Carolina has a question now.
Yes, thank you, Carolina. I'd like to know what are the main, the top five priorities that refugees have when it comes to when they arrive to the border. So what are their priorities, what they want, what is the most important for them?
Okay, so this really depends on a person. Some people want to reach some other European country because they have friends or family there. So, you know, Poland is just on their way. Some of them don't care. They just want to find a safe place and they want to apply for asylum in Poland. And all they want is just to live a normal, peaceful life. So that differs from, you know, from the situation, from the story of a person. So this is one answer that I can give to you. But the other answer to question what they want is what do they want in the forest when we find them? I mean, when we reach a group, the first words they say is no police and no Belarus, which means that probably they were already pushed back several times. And they know what a nightmare it is. The second thing is that they want some water to drink. And many of them just drink, you know, all bottle at once because they are so thirsty. Then they want to eat because they are hungry. Then they change the clothes because they are very often wet or their clothes are not the best for the weather in winter in Poland, so we give them some warm clothes and shoes are very important. Their feet look like feet of soldiers during the First World War, the ones that they were in the trenches in the mud for many days. So you can look it up in the internet, and this is how their feet look like. So these are the things that they want in the forest, in the, you know, in the shortest perspective.
And Colleen, you mentioned that, you know, because due to the state of emergency, that journalists and humanitarian workers are not allowed in the area. That's under the state of emergency. So are you currently in contact with any refugees currently on the border? And I suppose how is the foundation providing aid given this obstacle?
We are constantly contacted by people who are in Belarus, from people who are in the emergency state zone. And we are also contacted by people who already crossed the zone and they are out in Polish territory, but not in the zone anymore. So for the people in Belarus, we really can't do much. We can't help them. We can't, of course, it's illegal for us to help them to cross the border anyhow. It's a regime country, so there are not many activists that would risk helping out people on the move near the border. If there are some people in the zone, we can try to ask some local people who live in the zone, so they are not banned from, you know, moving around in there, to reach such a group or such a person. And you know, from my point of view, the locals are the heroes of this time, the real heroes, because, you know, I can go back home to Warsaw and rest and maybe not think about this nightmare for a second, and they have it on their doorstep. So if there is a possibility of a local person to reach a group in need in the zone, that this is what we do. And if a group is outside of the zone, we are trying to reach them with our team and help out. And another thing, I didn't say it before. If a person wants to apply for asylum, of course, we can provide them with legal assistance.
Okay, so I wanted to know, what is the most difficult thing that refugees refer when they speak with you? that they left behind in their country. So what is more painful for them for leaving their country and come to the new one?
I'm sorry, but again, I will answer that this depends.
Yes.
I mean, every story is different. Everybody has a, you know, different reason to flee. We had, for example, we had clients from Afghanistan. She, it was a 33-year-old lady and her children, her adult children and teenage children, among them three daughters. So, so she decided to run away from Afghanistan just before the Taliban's, you know, took power in the country. She was already aware of what's going to happen when Americans will leave, and her husband already was killed by the Taliban, and she was really afraid that her teenage daughters will be forced to marry you know, one of the Taliban. So she decided that all family, so she and her five children and a cat, she decided that they have to, you know, run away, and they ended up in this hell. Yes, so, you know, I think it's really hard to compare which story is the worst or which, you know, is the most tragic. I mean, nobody would try to travel like this.
Yeah.
If she or he wouldn't be, you know, forced to do it.
That's very true. I suppose you noted that many refugees on the Polish-Belarusian border are looking to seek refuge in the EU. And I'm not sure, I don't know if you're aware, but I read that over a week ago, the EU Commission, they proposed to allow Latvia, Lithuania and Poland to derogate from EU rules. And so this includes holding asylum seekers and migrants at the border for 16 weeks. And so I suppose, what is the Foundation's opinion on this? What is your opinion on this? I know that Amnesty Ireland strongly opposes this and sees it as a huge human rights abuse. So yeah, I want to know what the attitude in your foundation is on this proposal.
Well, of course we are disappointed, but you know, this doesn't really surprise me. I mean, we see on the different borders of EU what's going on. You know, the pushbacks in Poland are not the first pushbacks in EU, right? So I'm afraid that the old policy on migration, on asylum in EU is going to look like that, unfortunately, which saddens me very much. And I think this is very disappointing, and I think this will not get us anywhere near really dealing with this problem.
Yeah, of course. And of course, the right to seek asylum is a international human right, and it's one of the rights enshrined in EU law. So it's very disappointing to see. And I think I'll just move on to my last question. I suppose I think everyone would want to know this, but what can we do? What is something that everyone can do to help this crisis on the border?
So you know, we already tried everything. This is not a crisis that we can deal. And this is not a, this is in general, this is not really a crisis. I mean, we are talking about maybe 15,000 people in, you know, maximum. So this is not a large number that Poland itself couldn't deal with. We have 38 million of Polish people in Poland. So, you know, even if we would accept all the asylum seekers from the Polish-Belarusian border guard, it would really not be a problem. So what the problem is that the Polish government is trying to use migration topic and asylum seekers mostly from African and Middle East countries to somehow gain support and, you know, to raise some polls. So so what we need right now from you all over EU, I guess, is to really talk about it and to make this topic visible and to share information about it. And So because the only thing that will stop Polish government from using pushbacks, from torturing people on the border, is that they will not see a political opportunity in it. Yeah. So they will have to really feel that this is not a good option for them politically to continue such policy.
Yeah, exactly. And we're all very lucky to have social media and a platform that each and every one of us can use to spread awareness if we're involved in college groups, Amnesty International societies, to make campaigns and to inform people on this issue, because it's very important. So yeah, I think Carolina has another question.
Yes, I'd like to end this to asking you, if you could ask for something to the local people and to the governments, you together with the refugees, what would it be?
There's one thing I would say to both of them. I mean, both to the Polish citizens and to Polish government. I think I would say that people are dying on our border, in our forests, in our fields. And you are the only ones who can stop it. And we can stop it together. We can stop it this instant. This How? Is only your decision.
How would they do that?
Well, for starters, with not breaking basic human rights and starting to obey Polish international EU laws, the Geneva Conventions, for example. We have all the tools, all the legal tools, all the resources to deal with that in a humanitarian way. We should only start to use it.
Thank you, Kalina.
Great. I think this is where I come back in. Thank you very much for this discussion. And also, well, firstly, Carolina and Emma for asking the questions, which were very insightful. And Kalina for responding and giving shedding a light on the situation at the Polish-Belarusian border. In this sense, I think I would round up the podcast by firstly, obviously, thanking you, thanking our listeners for being there today. We have seen that the pushback of refugees at this border by the Polish government, of course, is a humanitarian crisis. And something that especially stayed in my head was what you said, Kalina, about what refugees say the first thing that they arrive, that they say no police and no Belarus. But I think another thing that is more important is that the Polish government understands that this is not a political game to play. And the only thing they do understand, and this was a very insightful point, Kalina, is that we have to raise our advocacy, we have to raise awareness for this issue and make it a real severe and urgent issue in the minds of the Polish government to act. And they are the only ones who can act and help these people who literally die in your fields, as you said. So in this sense, thank you very much for being here, Karolina, today. And thank you to our two interviews.
Thank you.